Looks good. Everything looks good.
You got your brand name soda. I got my off-brand soda.
Yes. Off-taste and off-brand.
It actually tastes pretty good.
Whatever you say.
Pop Shop grape.
I wonder, but they're not Pop Shops still, are there? I know there's that, but are there places that you go that is the Pop Shop?
No, there's no, they just sell them in stores, I believe.
Okay. Because the original model was that you went there and you got cheap pop.
Was there a difference between Pop Shop and Pick-A-Pop? Seems like they were the same thing.
Maybe I'm getting confused and maybe I'm mixing up Pop Shop with Pick-A-Pop.
Maybe you are. Get your act together.
I really don't remember now. Because it wasn't like forever that you did that.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a 2-year window where it was popular to do that.
Here was the other thing that was weird. Use this before the show if you want. But there was a series of time where there was a whole bunch of clear sodas that came out, like almost felt like locally.
Okay.
Like you had New York Seltzer, and then that was gone. And then clearly Canadian came, then that was gone.
Was that a pop?
Then it was clear soda.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but it tastes like cherry or whatever, okay, fruit flavors. Okay. So New York Seltzer,
yeah.
Then you it was gone. Then you had your clearly Canadian,
yeah.
That was gone. Then you had your Koala Springs. Same deal.
Okay, that
then
did have colors to it.
Then it was, yeah, little colors. Then it was gone.
Yeah.
And then we got into Orbitz and it was crazy town and then everything stopped. But they all kind of came and went.
Yeah.
Everyone went, meh, no, we're fine.
We don't need this.
Yep. But they seemed classy. They seemed classier than regular sodas.
Is vitamin water the next that?
Probably. Probably.
It'll be gone in a few years.
We'll see. Or things will just get more extreme. Extreme. More taurine, more caffeine, more Listerine.
Listerine. Hydrogen peroxide.
Listerine should just...
I like the foaming action of this pop.
Listerine should just come out with a soda.
Yeah.
Just Listerine soda. Do you like to taste the Listerine? How about it in an extreme soda?
What about Buckley's? Should do that too then.
Yeah, Buckley's soda. Go for it. Do it. because you got to
drink... That would be their tagline.
You got to drink this...
Go for it.
They should actually have a soda that is for when you're sick. Because people have to drink like Sprite when you're sick. Why not just design a soda for when you're sick that's also blah, blah, blah.
But the reason that you drink Sprite or ginger ale is what I've heard is because it will help settle your stomach. Somehow I think that drinking Buckley's or Listerine will have in no way any effect that's good on your stomach.
Yeah, you get a nice buzz. Who cares?
NyQuil soda.
Mm.
There you go.
All right.
Do not drink and drive. Okay. We probably should start the show. You're shrugging? You don't care?
It's okay.
We can just... How about if we just kind
of... I lost my enthusiasm 80 episodes ago.
No, did not. You're a liar.
All right.
How about if we go... We'll fade into the theme now.
Okay.
And this will be the opening.
Okay.
And then we'll shart the stow.
Have we sharted the show?
We're going to shart the stow. Me and the Reverend Spooner.
Those of you that don't know what sharting is, don't look it up.
Is it a thing? It's on the Urban Dictionary?
It's not even Urban Dictionary. It's just a thing.
It's a thing. Okay. Please don't shart. And
stop saying that.
Unless you want to.
No, stop saying that. Let's just get to the show.
Because other people will know what it is, and they're all...
Well, most people know what
that
is.
They're all gripping their stomachs.
No, they all know what it
they're
is.
They're like, oh,
no,
we said it again.
You're in the vast minority that
shart.
Doesn't know
it. Ooh, we said it one more time.
And here's the opening.
Let's start the show. Hi everyone, welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby. Some people ask what this show is about. David,
and
what do you tell them? What do I tell
them?
I tell them it's the two of us talking about whatever comes up on our minds.
Yeah.
Often it is about our past, how that relates to certain things.
Okay.
We are jokey, sometimes it gets a little serious, sometimes
okay.
It gets real, man. That's
it's
what it
real.
Does.
Yeah, sure.
But the whole point
of this
of the
program,
show
yep.
is... this is the show that helps Jen's husband Ian go to sleep.
That's right. That's what we started this for.
We have one specific listener we're doing this for, and that's Jen. She's out there.
Yeah.
And she and her husband listen to the show.
Yes.
And apparently it's the only way he can fall asleep.
Apparently.
Dave starts telling a story.
Yes.
And then boom, he's out like a light.
With my hypnotically metronomic voice.
There you go.
And
see, it's that kind of talk and those kind of pauses.
The pauses aren't. Oh, that was long. That was a noisy pause.
Yeah.
The silent pauses disappear.
And then
pauses.
And then
stay.
once he is out, Jen can whisper to him things like "Stop smoking," and then the hypnotic suggestion penetrates into his dreams.
Yeah.
And he just becomes a better person.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, by this point, Ian is asleep.
Yeah.
And now this the rest of the podcast, we can do whatever we want
with. Well, the unfortunate part is the side effect that there's a lot of people that it puts into a hypnagogic state. that they think they're being raped by a dragon and they can't move. So that's a different issue.
Dave, are you just being a smug tease?
Yes, I am.
There hey, we are.
Let's start the show proper.
Oh, thank for God. A change. Can we do a restart?
We can do a restart. And I just want to say congratulations for this on the show last week.
Oh.
It was really good. A lot of fun.
Last week's Sneaky Dragon?
No, last week's
I think
James,
I did a good job.
The James Bond.
Oh, sorry about that.
James Bond Live.
Okay.
Congratulations. It was really good. Oh, a lot of fun.
Thank you very much.
And I know that you were working really hard on it.
Yeah.
And I know that last week you were doing the show laying down.
Yeah.
No one could see that, but the microphone was beside you on the floor.
Mad rushes, trying to get everything together.
Yeah.
And then our actual show night. Like the show, I was happy with how the show went. But this was our technical thing for the show. Mm. We got there at 4 to do tech. And by me.
Yeah.
And then I met with the tech person.
Yeah.
And the tech person went, oh, no, here's the head tech person is here. And I was like, oh, that's great. And the head tech person was like, we're going to do some great lighting for this. Oh, that sounds fantastic. So we go through it. Basically, I'm going with lighting with this person up until about, let's say 7:30. We're doing all this. And they bring in a new lighting person at that point and he goes, because I knew he had to leave, but he was setting up the lighting for this other person. And then when the other person comes in, they go, I don't know any of this. So the next 15 minutes, and the show starts at 8. We should have let people in, by the way, about 15 minutes before that.
We waited in the foyer.
For too long. And so I'm frantically now trying to explain tech to someone who, the other person went, we're going to do all this stuff. That sounds great. And the other person, I don't know how to do that stuff. Oh, that's not as good. And then the sound person plugged things in wrong. So we did have some really nice video that Vicky Van shot.
Yes.
That about every 15 seconds went to black for no reason.
Well, because there was a problem with the HDMI cable.
Right. Let's just say we went over HDMI cable problems, I don't know, 7 times before before that all happened. And that should not happen. So my only, here's the thing. Almost any time I do a show like this, the only thing that makes my heart palpitate is tech.
Yeah.
And the farther away that I am from the tech, the more it's like, oh, I can't control anything.
Yeah.
To the point where we had a scene in the show where the whole, it's like
I closed my eyes.
Thank you. And there's a reason Dave did that. Let me explain why. It was a James Bond thing. So James Bond, you've always got to have one romantic scene. And we try to think like, how do we do this romantic scene?
Yes.
This was our idea. We would turn off the lights and have some comedy business going on.
Yeah.
By the way, this is a comedy. Comedy business going on.
Yeah.
And then lights come on and everything's in a crazy situation. So that's how it goes. So, well, here's the thing. Lights do not go off.
No.
And then we ask for the lights to go off again. Then we ask for the lights to go off again. To the point where I look over at the lighting person and they are saying, we can't do it! And I'm like, oh, okay. There's no... Can you just shut off the board? Like the one thing a light switch, the most basic of light switches has, it has this one function, which is you can turn it off.
Yeah, on and off.
On and off. That's the one... That's the most basic function. This is not technical.
Yeah.
But no, there was no...
You could even dim it to off.
Right. There was no technology available to them
apparently not.
To turn it off.
They did not. They were lost.
Or so we thought. So what I did was I addressed our audience with a mind.
Mm-hmm.
If you could all just shut your eyes. This is the honor system. Please shut your eyes while this goes on.
Yeah.
So we play the scene as best we can. And then it's time to turn the lights back on. Well, the lights go off. And
they figured it out.
They had figured out at exactly the right time how to bobba-da-booba-da-boo. So there's that.
Okay, there were some issues, but overall, for a show that,
we put together in 2 days.
That was put together really quickly. I'm not going to say thrown together because it didn't feel that way. I had lots of good ideas and it had lots of, the fun part of the opening, the cold open with the special effects. That was a lot of fun. So, you really got around a lot of problems by being very creative, and it was quite fun.
Oh, cool.
So I'm sorry for sneakers who couldn't come, but I'm thankful that there were sneakers there who showed up, and that was really nice of you.
Thank you for mentioning that you heard about the show on this show.
Yeah. Talked to a few in the foyer while we're waiting. I think there were some others there who didn't know who I was, so they didn't approach me. But
or maybe they did, and they didn't approach you.
That's fine.
You seem angry.
I'm unapproachable. I'm angry and unapproachable.
This angry dad guy. I'm a little scared.
Don't want to get too close to him.
Start talking about his deck or something, and then we just go on. You do go on, sir. No, it was nice, and I got some very nice feedback afterwards. There's some things in James Bond that are, you know, for instance, Ian Fleming has interesting ideas about lesbians.
He does.
In that they are evil, but can all be turned.
Yes.
So, we found a way around that in the thing, yeah. and quite a few people, you know, said afterwards they liked what was done in there.
Yeah.
You know, we addressed some of the social things that are in the thing, gave it a good twist, sure. And babbity babbity boo, and also lots of local references. And who doesn't like a local reference?
Yes. Yeah. Everyone does. Everyone likes a local reference, and I don't know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like when you have the concert and they go, I was walking down Robson Street today. Woo! We know locations that you talk of.
Yeah.
And I saw the Bilo. Wow! Yay! You saw the Bilo.
Sure rains a lot here, doesn't it?
Woo! I don't know. David Duchovny, we don't like that. Get out. David Duchovny once said that it rained a lot in Vancouver, and everyone got furious.
Everyone got mad, although we all complain about it. Yeah. I personally don't, because I like the rain, but there are people who live here who inexplicably do not like rain.
Right, I forget what talk show it was. It was some talk show, like, not Letterman, but it was like Conan or something. And he mentioned that it rained a lot, and the city exploded. Like, it exploded. Like,
it did. This is before Twitter.
Yeah, I was looking back.
Before Facebook.
For some articles from the past for another reason, and they had one from a local strip club. I think it was like the Number 5 Orange. And it said, David, how could you? You're banned for life. It's like, what?
Wow.
Yeah, it was just like.
That's turning down a lot of money, because apparently he had some issues.
Yeah, so you know what? Mm-hmm. Ironically, he liked to go to a strip club and make it rain.
That's right.
Anyway,
that's what he meant.
Yeah,
I'm wasting too much money. It rains too much in Vancouver.
By the way,
strip clubs.
It does rain, which is why it's green here.
Yes.
By the way,
and
also
clean, green and clean.
And let's also say, in many parts of the world right now, in North America, let's just say North America.
Yes.
It is snowy right now.
It is snowy.
And you go outside and you go, ugh, I got to shovel my everything.
It's 3 feet of snow.
Because we have the rain here, we're walking around in shorts.
Not just rain.
And it's February.
We're living through the Pineapple Express. So we have more than, it's more than mild. It's practically sultry. Like,
it's stupid.
It's stupid. How cool. Like,
you walk I work out in a warehouse. You just go, oh, stop it. Like, I appreciate, but come on now. Settle down.
Yeah, I work in a warehouse.
It's February.
And the floor is warm. Like, it's warm enough to walk on my stocking feet. Which I shouldn't do in a warehouse, obviously, but I...
Probably not. What's
I
going
was
on?
I was changing into my clothes.
I'm picturing you now in a Risky Business type thing. Yeah. Just like sliding across the floor.
I play some Bob Seger. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Slide across the floor. Then I pick this old box off the shelf, and I'll dance with it by myself, and then I'll put it on the loading bay. This has got to go out today.
I like it.
Thanks. It's a little like song I like to
sing. Sounds like a much more fun workplace than you've like said in the past.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that. I wear a shirt, you know, my underwear,
but
some
then
socks,
every room you slide into, the person, your boss, turns the light off behind you.
That's right. You don't want to waste energy. Yeah. And then she'll turn off the music as well, because why are you wasting electricity
playing
music?
You know it already. Just keep singing it out loud.
You're going to sing it yourself. Come on. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Come on, Dave, lip sync. I mean, air guitar. Yeah. Well, actually, I got some interesting news at work.
About your air guitar?
No, I got fired. So I'm been terminated.
Wait, is this true?
It's true, yeah. I got my notice yesterday.
What?
Yeah, they sold the company. They couldn't tell me, so to be fair, they were negotiating a sale of the company. So it was
this is huge.
All done on the hush-hush.
Okay.
And so on.
And when did you find this out?
Monday.
Okay.
Is that Monday or Tuesday? One of those days.
All right.
Someday recently.
Okay, so when are you, when is your last day?
April the 7th, I think, is when the lights turn off. For good. So basically, if I stayed there through this time, I mean, I've been looking for a job for a while now.
Okay.
I've been sort of, it's been in the air, and I've kind of felt like things are kind of winding down, and they're looking to sell. And that's fine. They're both at retirement age.
Right.
More than retirement age for my boss. And so I'm not mad that they're selling or whatever. And I'm not even upset that they didn't tell me, because, you know, when you're negotiating a sale, you can't let it out that, you know, you're selling, because then the industry gets kind of... Everyone gets in a mood, so
you're the one employee.
I'm the one employee, yeah. But
okay.
I just mean,
and it's not let it get out. You're the one person.
No,
right?
No. But yeah, I mean, for them as the sellers, they have to sign like a non-disclosure agreement and stuff like that.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. All right.
So it's all okay. It's all legal.
It's like, not even, like you could spread the word to the other employees.
No. It begins. It's outside of us. It's going out to the other people in the industry and stuff like that. So the people buying us don't want other movers and shakers in this industry to know what's happening. So
okay.
For whatever reason, I don't know. This is all above me, obviously. So yeah, so I got my notice. Yeah. So it was a bit sad. Like, I'm sad that I'm leaving there. As much as you complain about your job, mm-hmm. you know, I say they're this long because I liked my job there.
Now, how long have you been there for?
I think 8 years now, or maybe
is
almost
this
9 years.
Is the longest job you've ever had?
Nope.
What was the longest job you've ever had?
Well, probably working in the parking lots.
And that was for how long?
20 years.
Wow. Okay.
But I did that part-time, right? So I did other things while I was working.
This is the longest full-time job you've ever had?
Nope. Farriery was my longest full-time job. I did that for over 10 years, yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah. All right.
So this has been not quite as long, but I'm a faithful employee, I guess, or also known as a sucker. But yeah, so I'm looking for a job. So if anyone knows a job that pays around $80,000 a year and involves a lot of Facebook time,
right?
Let me know.
Now, you wouldn't take one that is $90,000 a year?
No, I prefer $80,000. I don't like...
Because it's that... Dave, like a lot of people mm-hmm. with a Chinese background, considers the number 8 lucky.
Very lucky, yes.
Right, so 80,000 is the amount. Mm-hmm. Now, if you offer him less, that's a big no.
No.
If you offer him, say, $100,000 a year...
Oh, that's okay.
That's unlucky. So
is that
no.
unlucky too?
Well, it's not as lucky as 8.
There's a lot of zeros in it, though.
Oh, that's true. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
As long as there's not a tree involved, because then it might be full of ghosts.
Maybe have some lot of ghosts in it. That's right. Well, you can if you get your paychecks and leave them by an open window, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe 90,000 is fine. I'm just saying 80,000 because I'm a jerk. But anyway, yeah. So I'm looking for a job. There's no way I'm going to find a job like that. Because like I said in a show a few, when we had our guest Terry and Ham, when we were on their show, What Are You Going to Do? I pointed out at that time the depressing reality that I'm absolutely unqualified for any
you
work.
Depress them so much they stopped doing their show.
That's how much I impressed them?
Yeah, depressed them.
Oh, depressed them. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, just went, guys, it's all pointless. And then they went, goodbye, and that was the end of them.
Maybe I shouldn't have brought that up.
How many shows have you killed?
Why?
Is that Dance to Death one? Is that still on the air?
That's still going, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Because you were on Ink Panthers, and then they went.
So were you.
And, yeah,
so
yeah, but you were on after me. And after you were on, they went, fuck it, and they left. We went on What You Gonna Do.
Yeah.
And they went, fuck it, and they left.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I guess Dance to Death is just on its last. Wait, let's see. What were you on? You were on Caustic Soda recently.
Yes.
That's going fine. I've been on twice.
Yeah.
And both were fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now you were on more recently than me.
Okay.
So tick, tick, tick. We'll see how that goes. Okay. Just a heads up to the Caustic Soda guys.
Yeah.
By the way,
you've had me on the show.
Yeah. You were the podcast annihilator.
I am.
You're actually a very good guest, though, on those shows. You are a much better guest than I am.
Why would you say that? I don't think I was that great.
Oh, because I listened to them.
Okay.
That's why. And you actually provide a lot. Well, when you were on the Caustic Soda mm-hmm. show, again, I've said this to you, but I went like, this guy's the perfect guest for this. It was like all the topics they talk about, you knew everything about, and not only knew about, had them all happen to you. So you could actually say all these things.
They kind of, I don't want to tell tales or give away trade secrets, but they kind of gear the show towards you.
I understand that. I've listened to other shows. It doesn't work as effectively.
Oh, okay.
Like, you actually have things in your life that work perfectly for that show.
Okay.
You know, you are an ideal guest.
All right, sure.
Ideal guest. You know, and they go like, what are bad things that could happen to horses? Oh, I'll tell you. I know them all. Could a farrier ever get into an accident? Oh, yeah. How's things with cancer? Oh, I'll tell you about cancer, buddy. And you'll just like, buddy, here's all the stories and all the details.
You can't shut me up.
I
hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get it. Well, if you want a perfect guest on your podcast who will promptly cause it to crash and burn, then I'm the one to ask, I guess.
But it will go up in glorious
It will
flames.
Go off and yeah, just up in glorious
beautiful
flames.
Fireworks.
Yes. That's
all right, so what are you looking for? Like, I understand, like, I'll settle for.
Yeah, I'm settling for another job as a shipper receiver. That's what that's what I'm looking for.
Now, what in the field of shipping receiving, what do you actually do? What are the skills that you have in that?
None.
That's not true.
I mean, I can put things into packages and send them out, if that's what you mean.
Right, and you did a lot of phone stuff, right? You did phone
well,
stuff?
Well, when I worked, because the company I worked for, because...
By the way, this is bad job interview stuff.
I know, I'm terrible at this stuff.
When it's just like, hey, what do you do?
No kidding.
Nothing. Okay, yeah. what's your worst quality? Let's just start.
I went for a job interview yesterday, and I did talk myself up better than I'm doing now.
You talked yourself up.
Yes.
Good.
Better then. But it was weird because I went for the interview, and basically this lady who was doing the interview, I basically was the interviewer. Uh-huh. And she told me all about herself, the company she worked for, mm-hmm. what the job I would purportedly be doing or perhaps be doing was like. She took me for a tour of the offices, and yet I never said anything about myself through the entire interview.
Really?
Yeah. She didn't ask me any questions about qualifications, my skills, what I could do.
Was she walking you by stuff where there was things on desks and she was seeing if you were going to steal?
Maybe that's what she's doing. That's why there was the gold bricks sitting on a desk. And then there's, I thought it was strange that all that cocaine was piled there.
Actually, on a completely unrelated note, when someone's called like a gold bricker, that means they're a lazy person. Why is gold lazy? Why would you call it like a gold bricker? Because a gold brick, you don't think, lazy gold brick just sitting there. Like, what's that mean?
I think
mean?
It was more than that. I think the idea was that you pretended that you were a prize, but really you just didn't do anything.
But a gold brick is a prize.
But a
that
gold,
sounds like a...
But the ironic gold brick is someone who you think is a prize, but turns out just to lay there.
Yeah, and people not do go, anything. Hey, you.
Yeah.
And then they go, I get it, because the periodic table elements.
Exactly.
Okay. So you wandered behind this lady. Did she know you were there? Maybe the job interview. And maybe she just didn't know you were there.
She also had a giant dog with her there as well. Okay. I guess that comes every day to the office. It's a Bernese Mountain Dog. I call it Bernese.
Well, I know you
don't. Because I like the sauce.
Yeah, that's right. You don't like the Hollandaise dogs.
I don't like the Hollandaise.
But you do love the Bernese dogs.
I love the Bernese Mountain Dogs, which are big dogs. Like it was up to my waist. Hi, that was a big dog.
Well, they're spicier.
But it was friendly. He was a friendly dog. He laid at my feet during the sit
down.
Ah,
then you got
interview.
The job. Perhaps. Doesn't that sound like the kind of thing that they do? Is like the dog likes you, that's a good sign.
I didn't like the money they offered, so I phoned back today and I said I'd be interested, but at this salary, I gave them a number.
Okay,
not a super high number because I'm only shipping receiving, so I can't get carried away. I like, didn't suggest in the $80,000 range.
Okay,
with Facebook perks. I couldn't go that far.
Well, Facebook perks are anywhere. You know, I mean, that's in your pocket, right? You just pick out your phone and now you got a Facebook
I know,
perk.
It's strange. Because when my lady boss first started working with us, she would go on.
Okay, first of all, don't call them that.
A lady boss?
Yeah. When you're on a job interview, don't talk about your lady boss.
No.
Okay.
Because there was the male boss and then there was a lady boss. Like,
I have to differentiate
between the two people. Or bossette, as I like to say.
Actually, you don't. You just have to just go, my boss. And they won't go, do you mean the male or the female?
Well,
they'll never ask you that.
But in my story, I'm telling you,
okay.
She would go into my computer and turn off Facebook if I had it on. Like, you know, if I turned it on when I came in the morning and I was, you know, just idling away.
Let me tell you how you tell that story then. My boss would come in and she'd turn off Facebook.
Yeah.
Now, if the person's listening for subtle clues, they will hear that she turned off Facebook.
I would rather say lady boss. So,
enjoy the job hunt.
I'm not going to say it in person. And no one's listening to this show, I hope. That it's going to hire me.
This whole show is a job interview for you now.
Is it?
Yes,
oh, God
it is.
Damn it.
Listen,
well,
anyone out there in the area.
Listen, you know, I don't say that in real life, guys.
Let me also say, Dave can work in America.
I can also work in the States.
Yeah, you can work in America or the States. That's true.
Well, I'm disagreeing with you, but slightly changing it so that I wasn't echoing you like some sort of weird canyon.
Dave can do Echo Canyon work.
That's right. Dave can do Echo Canyon work.
Dave can provide a Doppler effect if needed.
Dave can provide a Doppler effect if needed. I don't know. I was talking about it with Lisa last night, and she said, well, basically she gave you the job if you want it. So I don't know. When I talked to her today on my phone, she said, well, I have one other person I'm interviewing tomorrow. And I thought, that's fine, whatever. I think I have other people that I've met in the industry that I'm working in that would be interested in hiring me, if that's what it comes down
right.
to.
Now, would you be, I'm not going to have you in any way badmouth the job you may or may not get, but is it something that would interest you?
No.
It harder or easier than the one you've got now?
I think it's easier.
Okay. I like that element of it.
I actually enjoyed the harder parts of my job. Like, I enjoyed the fact that because...
You like working hard.
I do like to work hard, but because everyone left and wasn't replaced... That didn't mean that the jobs that they did went away. It just meant that there was one person fewer to do those jobs.
Right.
And eventually there was me working there.
And so how many people's job... Okay, let's take the original group of people.
Yeah.
How many people were there when you started?
Not a ton, but there was the accounts...
More than three?
Yeah, there was the accounts person.
Yeah.
There was the boss's son.
Two.
I never quite figured out what his job was necessarily, but
okay.
Then...
When you're the boss's son, you don't really need to figure
yeah,
that out.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then there was me.
So there was three of you.
Yeah.
And by the end, there was one of you.
Just me.
So you were doing the work of three people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and you were not getting three people's salary.
I did not see any raise in that from that.
Yeah. That's where I kind of go. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not so fair.
Okay.
But that's life. So if you expect life to be fair, you're in for a sad life.
No, you don't expect it to be fair, but you try to make it fair. Sure. That's the thing.
Okay. So
life isn't. Here's the thing. Oh, I was thinking about that. Life isn't fair.
Yeah.
On its own.
Mm-hmm.
That's you gotta do something about that to make it. Anything you see that's fair out there.
Yeah.
Someone has actually tweaked to make so.
You know, it's on me. Like I was the one who took on the extra things, and because I don't know anyway. Partly because people would leave, and there would be stuff to do. Like when I first started working there, the original boss's son had left to go out on his own. He became an agent for a different company.
Okay.
So the things that he did, no one was doing. And so I said, well, we do need product to sell. So I better start ordering product and figuring out how to do that. So I started to do that. And then when our first accounts person quit, suddenly, after a fight with the boss's son, different son, I thought, well, someone will have to write checks and process invoices and do all those. So I better figure out how to do that. So I sat down and learned how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong?
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking what everyone listening to this is thinking.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
And then when the other boss's son left after he had a fight with his mom when she started to work there.
Right.
Although this kind of started before that, I started to do the packaging, designing packaging. And doing all the print and stuff like that, I just did all that stuff. I just kind of figured out how to use InDesign, which I wasn't really familiar with. But I knew Photoshop and Illustrator a little bit, so I could kind of fake my way into InDesign, and I kind of figured it out. And so I designed packaging, like, you know, the retail packaging that we brought over from China and stuff. I would design that for newer products that we didn't have the packaging for. And I really enjoy doing that as well, because that's kind of fun just to sit down. But what's nice about it is that you're not all day long sitting at a computer fiddling around with retail packaging. You can do that for a while, then you can go, well, now I have to go outside and, you know, actually ship some stuff, because that's actually my job title is shipping and receiving.
Now, when you started, your job when you started compared to your job when it ended or when it's about to end, do you prefer your job now to the job that when you started?
Well, I don't mind.
As in the tasks you're doing.
Well, I mean, I did enjoy doing those extra things. Like I did enjoy that. Cause it was kind of a break, right? Like I come in the morning, I would do checks that came in, and then I would kind of time it so that when my bosses came in, then I could leave the office and go outside and work by myself out there.
Right.
Cause basically my life dream is just to work by myself. So then I would go outside and be outside in the warehouse, and then I would do the shipping and receiving for 4 to 5 hours. And then I would come back in, and for the last hour or so for the day, I would just do the invoicing and stuff like that. And what's interesting is, while I was doing it, is I figured out how to use the system, which I don't think anyone ever had. We had Simply Accounting. And when I came there, no one used it properly. It was very strange. It was all done all wrong. And I don't know why. Like, from the very get-go, I guess no one quite knew how to use it. And they just had all these weird, like, in Simply Accounting, there was a way to like make invoices. Like you could actually have invoices print as invoices. But they would print like 100 pieces of paper that would say invoice on it. And then they would just print the sales order as an invoice. And which was very strange. And what would happen though is if they had a back order, they would create a totally different invoice for the back order. So what was happening is all the sales orders then were staying in the system with these back orders sitting on them. And they're just like these unusable sales orders. So there's like hundreds and hundreds of these things. And when I realized this, I was like, okay, this is weird. Like, why is this not working? And I started going through and I was, oh, okay, well, you can create, you know, the sales order. Then you create a packing slip combination invoice.
Yeah.
And when that's printed, it will erase the sales order. And then unless the sales order has back orders, then it sits there. And then you create, when you get the back ordered items in, you just create another invoice and it takes off the back ordered items.
So you figured out how to work it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, you guys are all hearing this, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. So, all right. So here's basically what it feels like to me.
Well, what's going on?
One, you are overqualified for this job.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm overqualified for any job that I'm qualified for, by the way.
Well, that's an interesting thing to say. So basically, you know, you want to make tasks for yourself to keep your brain busy because you are not stimulated enough in what you're doing because, you know, your brain is beyond what you're doing there. So, okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
But here's what it feels like. It feels like what you were involved in was a family business.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Now, family business works. There's positives and there's negatives to family business.
Yes.
The positives to it are, you know, something happens, and the family business is a bit more can be a bit more flexible with you. They can be. That can be the positive.
Sure.
It's just like, Dave, well, you're one of the family. We're gonna help you out, and we're gonna do this and that. The negative side of the family business is one: if they start making it, it's just business. Whereas you've done a lot of extra things that you would do for friends and family.
Yeah,
like you're doing things for the good of the family, but you're not profiting from it at all.
That's a negative.
That's
sure.
right. That's the negative. Whereas if the son was doing it, well, son's going to inherit the business at some point. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense for the son to do these extra tasks.
Yeah.
You will not profit. Now, if they are giving you those bonus things and giving you the benefits of being part of the family, yay! If they're not, and they're treating you like an employee, and you're treating them like family, and you're doing all this extra stuff for the family and the good of the business, and now you're doing three people's work, but you're not getting paid, then you're getting hooped. And I've had similar situations with like companies I've been with where during certain times they're like, come on, we're all family. We all got a band together. And can we all just take a salary cut for a while? Because we're having hard times. Yeah. And then like later when you're going up to them going, listen, man, I'm having hard times. Is it possible? You know, I know things are going better. Hey, this is a business. What are we going to, how can we, if I did it for you, we'd have to do it for everybody. You know, you've had it that way.
Sure.
So if you get the one-way family business situation, then you are getting the family business.
Yes. No, you're right. And it's true. And you know, the one lady who quit, the one accounts lady who quit after a fight with the boss's son, well, the reason she fought with him is because she couldn't deal with the fact that, you know, she felt like we were working really hard and he wasn't doing anything. And yet he was getting more than us, more perks, you know, company car.
Real Pauly Shore.
Company car, free phone, all the rest of it, right?
Yeah, it's family business.
And, you know, we were getting nothing. We were just getting the minimum wage, whatever. But I would say to her, you can't think of it that way.
Why not?
Well, because you're working for a family company. If you worked for
if
you worked for a real business,
right? But
you just have to accept that.
No.
You can leave, like she did,
right?
Or you can accept it.
Well, you can accept it. Well, there's a third option.
What's that?
Change it. That's the third option. You show the family business that the business benefits if they treat the business like a business. So if you have you're giving all of your benefits to the person who's not producing. Okay, you got three cows. They're all given milk.
Yeah.
The one cow gives a little squirt a day, a little time. Achoo. And the other two cows are given quarts and quarts of milk. Mm-hmm. And you're pampering Squirty Magoo and giving him all the good hay or her all the good hay.
Yeah.
And the other two, you're kind of, you know, going, we'll do whatever you want. You know, well, then that's bad farming and you're not getting profits in the long run. So that's them being bad business people. Now, if they can figure, and to the point where I don't know why they went out of business, but they've gone out of business, you know?
Well, I mean, they went out of business. Yeah, there's reasons why they went out of business. One was, I mean, I think the main thing is that neither of them had the interest anymore in fighting to be a business, fighting to keep the company going, you know, because it's a competitive market.
Right.
And you've got to, you know, put some money in to get some money out. And that's not what my boss wanted to do anymore.
Yeah. Like, well, that's called business.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
We understand that. She didn't. Like to her, you know, it was just get money out. That's all. That's how she viewed
it. Right. But okay. When you hear that though, I think when you hear that, you go, what you going to do? Just a family business. What you going to do?
That's what I say.
Whereas I hear that and I go, well, that's clearly wrong. Yes. And they should not either be in business, which sounds like they're not.
Yeah.
Or that should be fixed. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, to me, the business person in me, that drives me a little nuts.
I can understand that.
Yeah. Whereas you, and the thing that bugs
somebody's
me about.
Somebody's more phlegmatic.
Okay. But the thing that bugs me about that is because I know, you know, you're giving so much to this company. It bugs me because you're clearly getting screwed on this deal.
Sure.
You're in a bad relationship here.
You and Lisa are on the same page.
Yeah. You're in a bad relationship. You're in, if you were, say, dating, let's say in high school.
Yes.
You're given, and the other side is flirting with the other guy. You know, it's not given back. And you're saying, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Not date her?
Sure.
And it's like, well, either talk to her and tell her this ain't right, or you got to step away because Someone else could use your energy. Someone else could use your skills. There's another company that actually will respect what you're doing and will see, oh, this guy's learning. This guy's actually teaching himself new shit. We don't have to send him to like a school to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
He's doing it on his own goddamn dime. Well, listen, if we reward him for this and we pay him a little extra for this, what do we get in return? Oh, shit, all that? Well, then this just makes good fucking business sense to give him more money.
Well,
God damn it. We're getting three people's work out of this one dude. If we just pay him two people's salary, we're still making a profit, right?
Yeah.
Well, then, God damn it.
See, the problem...
Am I wrong, folks, or am I wrong?
I agree with you, except for this.
Oh, boy.
The problem,
except for self-image.
The self-image. No, the problem is that what I said, I am overqualified for any job I'm qualified to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm not qualified to do any actual jobs. Like, I cannot walk in the door of a place and say to them, you know, I can do accounting. Because they're going to say, where's your...
With the exception of something else that I will talk to you about afterwards.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Where is your certificate of, you know, where's your degree from Pratt Community College?
Right.
That shows that you took...
That you're a Pratt.
That's right. That you're a Pratt. That you took, you know, some night classes.
I'm a genuine Pratt, sir. Here's my certificate.
I took some night classes in accounting, and this is evidence of that. Wow, you're ready to do accounting. I mean, that's... You know, that's what they want to see. They don't want this anecdotal, you know, oh, I figured it out on my own, you know. Like, they don't care, mm-hmm. honestly.
Okay.
And then, the rest of it, I mean.
Okay. Well, it depends on the business you're talking about. Like, if you're talking about a fairly large business,
sure.
Yes, you have to walk in with your, this is my certificate of blibbity blah blah blue. But if you're coming from working in a mom and pop business, then maybe a startup business with mom and pop, you know, again, you could come in and go, hey, this, you know, okay, understood, you know, and they're not of that we need certificates. Maybe that's not the case. But I think like, you know, I mean, the obvious thing when you say like, I'm not qualified for any job that baba de baba de boo. I mean, then it really comes down to, then it's almost making up your own job. I mean, that's what it, you know, then you've got to design a job for the skills that you have. And, you know, and that can be you offering your services. Since you know these things, there are other businesses that could use your services and you could offer those to them. And then it's their choice. You don't have to go in like and apply with like 12 other dudes, you know, or ladies, as we must, there's lady shippers and lady dudes and lady shippers.
There's lady shippers.
That's right.
They're called shippettes.
Yes.
But there's
nowadays there are female drivers and female singers.
I've heard of that too.
That's right. Some even female mothers. There's all sorts of things.
I believe
you
mean songstresses.
Yes. What have you? But. You know, if you've got a skill that other people don't want to do, that's a thing that is actually valuable in today's marketplace. It's not necessarily the 9-to-5. It could be you're offering the service and someone will like, please do these invoices for me. I've got no idea how these work. Trust me, there are businesses that are like that. A lot of businesses like that.
Well.
And there you go. And that's the attitude that'll do it. I know it's tough. It's tough to break from tradition.
Yeah.
It's tough to not go physical resume that you've taken to Kinko's in hand, because that's how it was when you started.
That's right.
You know, but that sometimes that can make you feel like an old Gil, you know, on Simpsons is just like, oh boy, here's the resume. And boy, I work real hard and sit down to do the thing.
I mean, I guess you can feel that way. I mean, especially as someone who's in, you know, not at the beginning of his working life, but in the middle, I don't know where I am
or
exactly.
Or whenever you are. Who knows how long our generation is going to work for? You know, the retirement age of 65 seems ridiculous.
Seems nice, but...
It seems nice and ridiculous. And like everyone's talking all the time about just like, well, we got to bump that up because everyone's living longer. Alrighty, there you go.
The Freedom 95 plan.
Yep. But then, you know, maybe we'll have the immortality pill by then. And then it's like, ugh, you never retire. Just go, go, go.
Sounds great. Can I not take the pill? Do you have to take it?
I think you can get away with it. Yeah.
I won't take it.
All right. That's fine.
No, thanks.
All right. I'll be doing the show myself.
So. Yes, you can carry on.
All right.
You can just have my animated corpse, animatronic corpse.
That sounds add, that sounds great.
It sounds like it is now, or basically be the same thing.
Yeah, and it'll just be going, I'm not much of a robot. I don't know. Golly, golly, geez. Yeah.
I'm not good at that stuff. It was funny yesterday.
No one's good at that stuff.
My boss.
One is, except, you know who is? Liars. That's who's good at that stuff. The type of people who are good at that stuff are the type of people who, you know, I know all these people from like the dot-com boom in the 90s. And, you know, all they did was make up jargon and they tell you this and that and the other. And you know that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's that type of person.
Yeah.
And then everyone else goes, I'm crappy at this. I'm bad at schmoozing. Everyone is. Everyone's bad at schmoozing. No one is in a room going, I love schmoozing. No one does. Everyone hates it. Mm. Everyone.
I don't
Absolutely
mind.
Everyone.
I don't mind schmoozing. It's more the selling myself that I think.
Yeah, everyone hates that.
That's
pretty
terrible.
Everyone hates that.
Yeah. No, I can.
The only time you kind of like it, it's like dating. Everyone hates dating. The idea of like asking someone for a date is the worst thing in the fucking world.
Yeah.
It's horrible. You can see like a speed dating thing. You should just stop it and just go, everyone here hate this? Yep. You know, unless it starts to go well, in which case, oh, it's not too bad. And same thing with like a job thing. If like then you're connecting with the job person, it's like, oh, okay, that's fine. But the whole process, it sucks. Of course it sucks. Everyone hates it.
It does suck. It does.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and the other bad news that we had the same day was that the people who own the farm where we keep our horses, they're selling and moving. So we're like, ooh, boy, but that's a year. That's a year away. So we have some time to prepare for that big change as well.
All right. Are there other farms in the area that are?
Oh, there's other places, but this was a nice place because the owner was a friend of Lisa's, so they've known each other for a while. And we had a pretty good board rate there. And then there was fields for the horses to gallop about in and cavort.
Okay.
And most boarding places, you know, they give you like a paddock that's the size of a postage stamp for the horse to stand in a bored manner in until you happen to show up and throw some food at it. So it'd be nice if we could find something that's better than that again, but we'll see.
Okay. We'll also throw that out there then. If anyone knows... You know, if anyone in kind of the rural...
Close to Aldergrove.
Yeah, close to Aldergrove. Anyone in that area, you know, knows of. So what are you specifically looking for? Just a place to stay?
Self-board. And because that's cheaper. And just something with some romping room for horses.
Okay, so we're looking for that. And, okay, here's a suggestion. If you
And a job, $80,000 a year.
Yeah, if you could...
A lot of Facebook
If you
time.
Could start your own business in an area where you could keep a horse near your desk.
That would be good.
Okay. It's a lot of cleaning poop.
That's true enough.
Okay.
Well,
if you could like you're doing your drawings and you're doing shipping things for people. You're on your computer, occasionally Facebooking, let's be honest.
Yep.
And then you got a horse right next to you in your kind of stable-y area. Yep. That would be okay.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to mention
that. And the horse
that.
Would be like, get off the internet, Dave.
I mentioned that, but I never got to the which is my boss would turn off the computer. Like, turn off Facebook.
Yeah.
But I have it on my phone, and I always think to myself, does she know that it's on my
Look,
phone? That seems kind of weird.
All right. Once again, let me just say this.
Control freaks.
It's a fucking family business. To the point where your mom is turning off the lights behind
that's
and
a
your
part
mom
of it.
Is going, you've been on the internet too long.
There is that mom element to it.
So. Yeah, there is. Without the benefits.
I wasn't on it, though. I would just leave it on so I could, like, look and say, oh, is there a... Did someone like that post that I did?
Right.
No. Darn it.
Is she turning it off for energy use?
No, she would just turn it off because I was wasting company time.
Uh-huh. All right, folks, you might not have heard a pause there because we have truncate silence.
Mm-hmm.
But that was me shaking my head and just wanting to yell, do you know how much money this guy is saving you? Jesus, it's the ultimate, like, stepping over dollars to pick up pennies.
Mm-hmm.
And in business, nothing drives me crazier than that.
Yeah.
The penny pinching, you know, and that and this while losing, you know, all the dough because you're making an unpleasant work environment for the people that actually make you the big fucking money.
No, it was funny. Like when she would complain about how much our freight costs were, and I would be thinking to myself, but that means we're shipping more. So it's a good thing. It's, you know, it's 10% of our... It's 10% of our, you know, income going out the door in shipping, yes, but 90% of that is for us.
Yeah,
you know, it's someone, to pay for the product.
It's someone with that micro vision that just sees one part of the page and just goes, oh, but the other part of the page, if you added this all up, you see how this is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, listen, I know they're not listening to this.
They will never
You're
listen to
You're lucky
it.
To be out. And if you guys want to be lucky out there, hire Dave for, he's good at the shipping, receiving. It's not all he can do. He's very strong as well. Also, by the way, folks, you know the guy's amazing at art, right? You've seen all the title cards, right? He also does art. He'll do some art. He's very good at art. By the way, let me also mention this. He's a good writer as well. Throw that out there. Okay.
Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you. Hey, let's change the topic a little bit.
Absolutely. And say that it's the 75th anniversary of the Superman radio show. Yay! I know you got other stuff to talk about.
Is it the Superman radio show?
That's correct. 75th anniversary.
I think I might have heard that once.
Let me just run you this. I will run you a 1-minute quiz on the Superman radio show.
Okay, sure.
Name three innovations that happened on the Superman radio show that were then later incorporated into Superman mythology.
I'd have to say it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. Would come from the radio
show? That would probably come from the radio show. You're probably correct about that.
Okay. Really? It was incorporated into it after...
Well, I don't know about that. You just made that one up. I've got three actual ones here.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of things that weren't...
There's one character that was brought in. Actually, there's two characters. Here's
okay,
the...
so people who worked at the Daily thing
such
with them,
as?
So Perry White and
okay,
Jimmy,
now here's the
Jimmy
thing.
Olsen.
Perry White was actually George Taylor when he first started.
Okay.
And it was the Daily Star.
I see.
That's when Superman started. But there was another Daily Planet character that was introduced completely for radio. What character was that?
Was that really Lois?
No, Lois was around from Action Comics number one.
Oh,
who was the other character?
I said Jimmy Olsen. So
that is correct. Oh, okay. Jimmy Olsen was introduced.
Huh.
Also, something that's a real spur in Superman's side was introduced in the radio show. What was that?
Kryptonite?
That's correct. Kryptonite was introduced for the first time on the radio show because they needed something that would stop that guy.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Now we're on to number three. What superpower was introduced on the radio show that Superman did not have in the comics up until that point?
Was it his super breath?
No, it is not an obscure one. It's actually a pretty damn
flying.
That is correct. He could not
fly.
Because
he could do that on the radio quite easily.
He could jump 1/8 of a mile.
Yeah.
But in the radio show, he could fly. And that was then, you know, later, bobbidi-bobbidi-boo.
Interesting that they would incorporate it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's another character that had an interesting, we may have talked about it, but I'll talk about it again, had an interesting evolution is the Shadow. Because the Shadow originally started as a narrator of a program.
That's right.
And so he was kind of like the Whistler, where he was the all-seeing character who would sort of take you through the story as the narrator.
Right.
And then it was decided he became a character in the pulp magazines. And they're like, well, this is a popular character from a popular radio show. Let's incorporate him into magazines. So then his character was changed for the magazines into the Shadow that we know now. And so then the radio show changed to take on that element.
Did Orson Welles do the voice of the Shadow?
He did originally, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I don't know if he did the narrated one, but he played like the Lamont Cranston character.
And the Shadow had the power to be invisible, right?
He had the power to cloud men's minds so they couldn't see him. Yeah.
So he was not necessarily invisible,
no.
But he appeared invisible.
Yeah.
Which other people might know as being invisible.
It
so
was,
you're saying
I always said,
he could not be seen. That is invisible.
But there could be someone who could resist that power and see him. There
okay.
is an episode where someone is able to do that. And there is an episode where he is able to cloud men's minds, but not a gorilla, which attacks him. It's true. It's true.
Sorry.
So the criminals can't see him, but the animal can.
And there's one... Sorry, I just was picturing... There's one superhero. What's your deal? I have the power to cloud gorillas' minds. It doesn't come in handy very often.
But...
Oh, here come some human criminals. Damn it. Is there a gorilla with them? No. Well, I'm not much use here. I'll be stepping into the alley while you deal with this. If there's any gorillas, though, you call me out. And then the one day the Shadow's there. Hey, a gorilla. Oh, he's not here today. He's going to kick himself. The one day we have the criminal gorilla. Rats.
And they're fighting soldiers, the gorillas, you know, and they're like, me? Ah.
Exactly. All right.
Sorry.
Dave brought out
homonyms don't count,
no,
Shadow.
No, they don't. We're homonymophobic.
Well, I was going to say that tomorrow, do you know what tomorrow is?
Tomorrow is Friday.
The...
Friday the 13th.
That's right. So I thought we would...
And you know what's scary about it?
What's scary about it?
It's right before Valentine's Day.
It's right
Day.
Before Valentine's Day.
A lot of pressure.
Friday the 13th was when I had my first operation when they discovered I had cancer.
And did you survive?
I did.
Yay!
It shows you. So these are... this is a list of common superstitions. So I'm going to ignore ones that I think people know.
Okay.
But I found some that are kind of fun. And I thought we could either discuss... why they're bad, why where they came from.
Okay.
So the first one, I think people probably know this
We've talked already about trees and ghosts.
There we go.
Yeah.
This is to open an umbrella in the house is considered bad luck.
Okay.
Which I think is like a practical acknowledgement effect that when you open umbrellas in houses, you can knock things over.
You certainly can.
So.
And you might summon Mary Poppins. You might. Who's the most terrifying of all creatures.
Is she?
Oh, she's horrifying.
This one's a
She is actually Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
If you read the original Mary Poppins book, she's a real jerk. She's kind of mean.
Yeah.
You know, Mary Poppins. She is not the Julie Andrews sweetie nicey.
But is she that sweetie nicey? She makes them clean up.
She makes them clean up, but with a nice smile and this. And this Mary Poppins kicking a ass, and she's got a lot of powers, and you better watch out.
Did you see that film about...
Yes.
The
character... Saving Mr. Banks.
Yes. I thought that was interesting.
It was interesting, and apparently not very true.
No. It hardly ever is.
Yeah.
Welcome to movies.
Okay, so why would that be a bad idea?
To open an umbrella. I just think because it's bad news.
Oh, do you have the answer to this?
Or no, I don't. I'm just speculating.
Okay, I think you're just asking to have your roof fly off and have things rain down on you.
For the open an umbrella?
Yeah. I think you're saying, hey, take my roof off, wind. Okay. Yeah.
So even if you just open it before you go out the door, mm-hmm. you're inviting this. You're inviting that. You're
just. Like, I think almost any of these is like
laughing in the
piss
face.
Off ghosts.
You're laughing in
almost
the face
every one of these
God.
Is ghosts. Okay, next one.
This is a popular one, but this is one I really believed in when I was a kid.
Throwing salt over your shoulder.
No. If you step in a crack, you'll break your mother's back.
Oh, okay.
I would nervously walk home all the way from school, even in my junior high school days, and would concentrate on not stepping on cracks.
Now, let me just say this. You have had some issues with your mom. And you've had some fights with your mom. Has there ever been a time where you just went out and just stepped on a couple of cracks?
No, I did not. I would never want that to happen to my mom.
Okay.
Never.
All right.
But did you never do anything like that? Did you ever worry about that when you were a kid?
Well, I always thought, like, is there anything that would, like, is there anything for dads? What can you do?
Yeah,
strange, isn't it? No, I would avoid the cracks, yeah. It was silly superstition, yeah, as well.
I mean, when you're a kid, you're superstitious because you don't know.
Imagine you go home and your mother's back is like broken.
Oh, no, it'd be terrible.
Like, thanks a lot.
You feel like such a jerk.
Well, first of all,
you knew it.
That is a good reason to not have children.
Yeah.
It's like, first of all, there's the dangers of childbirth.
Sure.
Also, you know, it can be heartbreaking sometimes with kids. And also, mm-hmm. if you have any children, the more children you have, the greater your odds that one of them will at some point step on a crack.
And break your back.
And you'll be paralyzed for life.
Yeah.
Nice
yeah.
job. Thanks, motherhood.
Clothes worn inside out will bring good luck. I didn't know that. I have no idea why that would bring you good luck.
Well, people will know how to properly wash your clothes, and maybe they'll wash them for you because they'll see the tag and they'll
know. Here's where I think it came from. Here's where almost all of them I think came from.
Oh, I think I know too. Okay, you do yours.
Well, I'm just going to say one day someone didn't wear their clothes. They got dressed in the dark in a rush. They had to catch the bus. They woke up 5 minutes before the bus was coming.
Yeah.
They threw on their clothes. Their sweater was inside out. Mm-hmm. Their shirt was, you know, half... you know, sticking all over the place. Their hair wasn't brushed. They ran out of the house and then someone was laughing at them, making fun of them for having their clothes inside out. And they said, don't you know it's good luck, idiot?
Oh, I'm going to say a flip on that.
Okay.
It's like, you know, when you've got a seagull and it takes a dump on you, right? And you go, ah, rats. And yes. Someone goes, remember, it's good luck.
It's good luck.
I think it's a way of saying shut up.
Yeah, don't complain.
Don't complain. Because if you look down at your shirt and you go like, ah, oh, I'm wearing it inside out. Mm-hmm. It's a person going like, hey, don't worry. It's good luck. In other words, shut up. Just stop having this. Stop being upset. I'm not interested in hearing your problems about being pooped on or your shirt being inside out. It's good luck. So hush. Yeah. That's the end of that, right? Because you don't say anything once it's good luck.
No.
Yeah. So there you go. It's a shut up in a nice way. Whatever happens. You stub your toe and you're like, ah, oh, mother, hey, that's good luck. And they're like, is it? Yep. So you got to stop swearing.
Wearing your birthstone will bring you good luck.
Yeah, right. That's the birthstone industry right there, isn't it? That's jewelry. It's like saying wearing expensive gold will bring you luck. It's like, yeah, obviously.
Buying birthday cards will bring you good luck.
Yeah, you know what's good luck? Having a lot of money in your pocket. Yeah. That's also good luck. Enough money to have money in your pocket?
I'm not too sure I think February. I think my birthstone is gravel.
Okay. Mine's right. Kryptonite.
Yours is kryptonite?
Yeah.
An itchy palm means money will come your way.
Okay. Sure. I think that's another thing where you see someone doing something gross and you...
But are you saying that hair is growing on their palm?
Well, no. I'm actually saying like you got psoriasis.
Oh, okay.
And you don't want them to be talking about the psoriasis, right? So yeah. It's like, oh, my psoriasis is so itchy. I say this as a man with psoriasis. So you say, once again, that's good luck. Mm-hmm. Shut up. Shut up about it.
Yeah.
Let's not have any more conversation.
Shut up. They made a TV show about you.
Yeah, shut up.
They didn't make a TV show about my acne. Singing detective, he has psoriasis, right?
Does he? Yeah. Is that psoriasis?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, poor guy. It's rough.
Yeah. All over your body. Because Dennis Potter suffered from, the guy who wrote the singing detective, he suffered from it.
It's
to
not
that
fun.
To that degree. A cricket in the house brings good luck. A good way to make a cricket infestation seem good? I know Phyllis would not like that because she is terrified of crickets.
I'm sorry, what? Why?
Why is she terrified of them?
Yeah.
Because when she was younger, a cricket jumped on her or something like that, and it freaked her out. And ever since then, she just does not like them.
She doesn't like the sound of crickets?
Which is weird, because when I was a kid, we would go run around in the tall grass in the Soyuz when I went on vacation, and we would catch them in our hands and carry them around and be perfectly fine with it.
I was... here's
but
the
then
thing.
We were gross boys, so...
I was doing a trip across Canada once with a friend of mine, a mutual friend of ours, Gina. And, and we got to, we're going to go to New York and then back. And then we got to Calgary, I think, and she decided to buy a cricket and take it on the Greyhound bus with us because it would be good luck.
What an odd, what an odd thing. But
we were eccentric.
Did she wear it on her shoulder? Where it have a collar and a leash?
It had a
collar and a leash, right?
No.
Yeah.
It just had a little cage. It had a little cricket cage.
How?
And I think the bus people just went, stop it. I think.
How unique.
Stop it.
Stop being unique, they said.
Yeah, we went into like Chinatown in, you know, or some area like that. And she wanted to have a cricket with her for this trip. I don't think you could bring a cricket with you across the border. I don't think they would let you bring a cricket.
I don't know.
And what would you do?
They wouldn't even let you play cricket across the border.
No, it's weird. And I think, and then as we progressed, it got like incredibly cold. It was like -44.
How did the cricket feel about it?
Dude, I don't even remember. Like, I remember the cricket being the early part of this story.
Yeah.
I don't know how the cricket
you guys let it. It was set free.
I think it got set free.
It was set free.
Yeah. No, the cricket.
Fly, cricket.
The
fly.
Cricket didn't die.
And as it hopped away, she was yelling, "Cricket!" Cricket. She named it Shane, actually.
Yeah, and then I was going to go, and then the cricket turned, and it went like, no, I don't love you anymore, and he threw little tiny rocks at it, and then it went off. Cricket free as the wind blows.
Well, speaking
of that. Oh, by the way, I think the reason a cricket is lucky is because it's very soothing, and it puts you to sleep, and so everyone's more relaxed, and the whole house feels luckier, because you're more relaxed when you hear that cricket sound.
Sure. There's nothing like insect infestation in your house to make you more relaxed.
One insect is fine.
I guess that's the difference.
Yeah, and many is terrible.
You don't want a closet full of crickets. That's not good luck.
Do you remember cricket lighters?
I do remember cricket lighters.
Remember the cricket lighter ads?
Do you not remember the cricket lighter
ads?
Had
a very adorable mascot.
Coffee tea or a flick of my cricket?
No.
No.
No. That was flick of my bick.
What? Sorry?
And that was as...
What'd you say to me?
That was as dirty as it got. It was having a lady or a man come and flick your bick. That was the thing. And it was like, we get the semi-dirty joke.
Did you know that it is bad luck to sing at the table? This isn't a table we're sitting at, right? It's okay. I sang earlier. I'm not going to suffer. I won't get fired from my job, will I?
Is that sing at the table, cry at bed, or one of those?
It
feels like that's one of those, like, has a second part.
That's probably it. Dad's going to get mad at you for singing at the table. Oh, my dad didn't like us singing at the table when I was a kid.
He's a singer.
I know. It's so hypocritical.
All right. Here's the thing. Let me just say.
Okay.
You know.
Please.
Your dad seems like a fine fellow, but this is what pisses me off.
About dads?
No. About your dad specifically.
Okay.
Your dad.
Yeah.
Was in a barbershop quartet.
He is in a barbershop quartet.
All right. But he was at the time as well.
No, he wasn't. When we were kids.
Oh, this was a dream he was going to fulfill.
He's probably expressing his conflict, you know, that his stifled ambitions to be a singer.
Here's the thing.
And his kids were like freely singing away.
He was a dad.
Yes.
Who had three sons. That is a biological barbershop quartet right there. Right there.
Yes, what was he thinking?
Right there.
Oh my God.
All you have to do, you've got a captain, you know, at every meal you could all just be going bum 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 bum.
Why weren't we?
Exactly.
Oh my God.
You sing.
My dad missed
I'm sure the other two have pipes.
I'm a natural tenor. He missed the boat on that.
Yeah.
He missed the boat.
I think I remember your brother Glenn singing at times. I don't know what
he can't carry a tune to save his life.
You know what? Then he could just be this guy. Bum 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 bum. And you're
He always sings a little flat. But that's okay. You could incorporate that little flatness into the mix.
Absolutely. You work around
it. You can make it work. Because Dennis Wilson sang flat
in
the Beach Boys, but his voice always fit into the mix.
Yeah,
that's
what bugs
Brian
me.
Arranged.
Especially if you're saying he didn't like singing at the dinner table.
Yeah, did not
you
like
had,
it.
You had a barbershop quartet right there every damn night. Could have been a joyful occasion.
Could have been.
all show up in your striped shirts, yes. Your straw hats.
Straw hats. Eat a little food. Mm-hmm. Sing a little song.
That's right.
Could have been awesome.
Little grandfather's clock.
How could he? I don't even know that song.
My grandfather's clock was too big for the shelf, so it stood 90 years on the floor. You know that song?
No, I don't.
It was bigger by half than the old man himself, though it weighed not a penny weight more. Anyway, the whole idea behind it is the grandfather's clock goes tick-tock-tock, yeah. But the clock struck never to go again when the old man died.
Oh.
So the story is grandfather's sad. Clock never worked after grandfather died.
Yeah.
But the tick-tocking is where you clock. Really do your harmonizing and your barbershop yeah. quartetting. I was in a couple of vaudeville shows, my friend.
The reason was that Grandpa choked on the key to wind the clock up. He choked on it and died, and that was the end of that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, for good luck, wear new clothes at Easter.
Yeah, once again, thank you, marketing.
That's the clothes industry?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Easter bonnet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yeah. Why not buy a new car for good luck this year?
That's right. At Easter, buy a new car.
Yeah.
I like this one. This one's, I'm going to start doing it. I don't even believe it, but I just love it. An acorn at the window, on your windowsill.
An acorn up the butt is good luck.
Yes. Once again, the acorn marketing, they could have done a better job.
Yeah.
They could have thought it through a little more. An acorn on the windowsill can keep lightning out of the house.
How many times have you had lightning in the house?
It keeps it from, coming through a window.
Yeah, yeah. How many times has that ever happened to you?
It's been in Tintin.
Okay.
Happened to the captain. He was talking on the telephone. Right. I was talking on the telephone.
Well,
don't talk on the phone.
When I was a kid, here was the big thing. Once again, take a drink because we're talking about childhood.
Okay.
And we talked about Dave's childhood and how his dad wouldn't sing with him. Dave's new book, I Never Sang With My Father. But whenever there was a storm, my mom would say, "Oh my God, turn off the TV."
Yeah.
Why? Because it could hit the antenna.
Mm-hmm.
And if it hits the antenna, it'll come down through the cord. If it comes down through the cord, it'll hit the TV. If it hits the TV, it'll explode.
Yeah.
It happened to someone in the neighborhood. Never happened to anyone in the neighborhood.
Happened to my cousin's aunt's brother's uncle's.
Never happened ever. Never. Never. The TV is not full of gasoline.
But I wonder where the superstition came from. Like, why would an acorn... Do you think because they thought oak trees... Acorn comes from oaks, right? So oak trees don't get struck as often by lightning?
Maybe.
And so then you should put it in your window and that will keep your house from getting struck?
Mm-hmm.
Don't bother buying a lightning rod.
Yeah. By the way,
use an acorn.
A sesame seed on the window will prevent lion attacks.
Is that right?
Because
but it will attract parakeets, which is almost as bad.
Well, then the lion will just see the parakeet. it's just something that never happened. So you go like, well, it never happened because we had the thing up there. Did you? Did you also have a little tchotchke from the Red Rose Tea of like an Alice in Wonderland character? Yeah. Well, maybe that kept it away. Lightning through the window. This lightning wouldn't go through glass, would it?
Of course it would.
It would go through glass.
Yeah. What do you think? The glass is going to block it?
Well, it would break the glass, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. It's not going to go through it.
No. It smashes its way into your home and zaps you and causes bodily harm.
What would happen? Sorry. Okay. So say I got like a... all right. Like I'm in the back of my house. I wish I had a house. And I got those sliding doors.
Patio doors, yeah.
Patio doors. They're glass.
Sure.
Lightning hits the patio door.
Yeah.
Now, does the lightning then disperse through the doors and that's where it goes? Or does the lightning...
I don't think... Does glass conduct? I don't think it does.
So what happens when lightning strikes glass?
Do you remember they used to have on telephone poles, they would have those glass... They kind of look like an upside down cup.
Yeah,
they'd
have these little glass on top of it, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think glass is conductive. And then the door frame itself is aluminum, which is another... I don't think that is conductive either.
So lightning...
Or maybe it is, because you can have aluminum wiring in a house. So I guess if it struck the door, it could act like a lightning rod, maybe. I don't know. It depends how powerful it was, I suppose. But, the shattering glass in your face isn't so fun.
Well, why would the glass shatter, aside from the noise? Why would the glass shatter if it's
from the
not...
From the force of the electricity.
But you're saying it's non-conductive, so why would the electricity affect it?
Well, I think... I don't know. I guess that is a good question. I'm no scientist.
Dear scientist,
I just
out
play
there.
One on the radio.
Okay, by the way, if you're looking to hire Dave as a scientist...
do not do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Other skills, many other skills...
I have many other skills.
...in both the arts and the computer world,
mm-hmm.
and also a strong man.
Yes.
And knows his way around a horse. So, by the way, if you're a centaur and you need a butler, Dave would be your man.
Yes.
If you're a centaur who's got a small business, Dave is completely the guy that you want. He will do your shipping and receiving, and he will shoo you.
Yes, I will. And if you fire me, I will shoo you again.
There you are.
And I also know which side of a centaur is the hairiest.
Okay, which side of the centaur is the hairiest?
The outside. You knew that, right?
Yep.
Why did you say it?
Because not everyone out there did, and you were setting it up for a joke. I'm going to tell you that.
All right. If the bottom of your feet itch, you will make a trip.
To the bathroom, and you will put some foot cream on.
Medicated ointment.
Or you will take your bath brush, and you will clean your feet, you filthy.
That would feel good.
It would feel good.
I'm kind of tempted to go do that right now.
Please don't. There's no shower around here.
It sounds so good. Hey, did you know that it is bad luck to chase someone with a broom? Now, this is just practical good advice.
Uh-huh. So everyone who's playing Quidditch is having bad luck.
Mm. I don't think that rule applies in the Harry Potter universe.
All right.
That is a different universe than
ours. Why is it bad luck to chase someone with
a broom? You're going to be smashing stuff. You could hit a wall and hit your own self with a broom.
Okay. It's nothing witch-related.
I don't think it's witch-related. I don't think bad luck counts for witches.
All right.
I think this is for normal people
that
don't have magical powers.
Oh, you're saying witches aren't normal.
No, they're not.
That sounds like real
anti... They have magical powers.
Sounds like anti-witch talk to me.
It's not anti-witch talk. It's just saying that they're...
By the way, all the witches out there want to send a curse to Dave, not me. I'm pro-witch, Dave.
Is that right?
I'm proudly pro-witch.
Now, here's one. Okay. You know when people say, find a penny, pick it up, all the day you'll have good luck?
Yeah, because that's how it rhymes.
Yeah. This one is to find a penny heads up, it brings good luck.
Okay, I disagree. I think it's tails.
Why?
Dave, I just feel like it's better.
Okay.
Listen,
I'm not going to inquire any further then.
No, here's the thing. I got a friend, and his name is Roger Fredericks.
Yes.
Okay. And by the way, if you pick up the latest, if you look online, Vice Magazine, there's an article on Street Sense, which was a show that I wrote briefly.
I read
it. My friends Roger and Louise.
Yes.
Has Louise been on this show? Louise?
No, I was trying to cajole her into coming on the show, and she said she does not like the sound of her own voice.
All right, very good. But they had an article on, and those two were kind of the main driving force behind the writing and the comedic writing of the show.
Sure.
But he, and I don't think I'm telling tales out of school here, he feels that even numbers are lucky. So he would like to, if he's eating French fries, he likes to eat an even number of French fries.
Okay.
Whereas, I don't particularly count my French fries.
Sure.
But I believe odd numbers are lucky. And here's why.
All right.
Because he believes it's like start and finish, start and finish. Now, I feel, well, if you're starting and finishing, well, now, you know, you can die. Because you're done, right? You're done. You're completed.
Okay.
Whereas there's a bit of me that feels like if you've got stuff that's undone still, you will not pass away because you've got to finish that thing. So it's like if you've got an odd number of things.
Can I stop you for a second? Do you hear that, Lisa? That's why I have not yet finished the bathroom downstairs.
Go on. There you are. You leave it open. Then you're gonna have to complete that thing. So there you go. It's some people have talked about this and said like this is one of the reasons some people read books is because if you buy a book and you start to read it, well, you're clearly not gonna die before you finish reading.
Do you
the
feel
book.
That way? I often think to myself, I'm really enjoying something. I will often think, I hope I don't die before I finish this.
Oh.
Because that would be really depressing to miss the end of this thing that I'm enjoying so much.
Well, I remember there was something about Dave Sim when he was doing Cerebus.
Yeah.
And at one point, I think he was at the 170 mark or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was talking about all these people that are praying that I don't die so they can see how this ends.
Yeah.
And I, and I think he got that with George R. R. Martin now too.
Yeah.
Just all these people are all right, that guy's got to keep going. He's got to stay. You got to stay alive.
And he's much older than Dave Sim.
Right, but if he finished the books, you'd be less like, well, here comes mortality walking here down the street. Looks like that guy's done. Well, better pick him up. Nope, leave it open. Open-ended.
Leave it.
Make sure you got some stuff that's not done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have lots of
and then at least you come back as a ghost with the unfinished business.
Sure, unfinished business. I am having trouble with that.
You were making fun of the other speech impediment person, yeah.
I'm having some problems. A sailor wearing an earring cannot drown. If it's an inflatable earring that turns into a dinghy.
Well, now I disagree with this. The reason that, you're supposed to wear an earring was it was supposed to help your vision. That was the reason for an earring, I believe. Because it's an acupuncture point.
I think that would count in Asian culture, but I don't think Western culture.
Here's the thing about the sailors.
Yeah.
They travel around.
I know they travel around, but I think they would have a hard time buying the whole chi energy concept behind acupuncture.
Okay.
I think they would have scoffed at that a little bit. Or maybe not. They're superstitious people.
Yeah.
They dance a jig while they're
and
lifting the anchor.
Here there be dragons. Sneaky dragon.
It's true. It's probably just a way to create uniformity amongst the sailors. Was mm-hmm. Everyone should wear an earring. Then we're all a group.
You can recognize together. Each other really
yeah,
easy.
That's yeah. right. Because, you know, your average soldier or worker who might look sailorish didn't have an earring in, so you would recognize
also,
each other as brothers of the sea.
You know, if you're just the one sailor on the boat with the earring, you feel like a dork. But if everyone's got one, hey, cool cat. There so you try to peer pressure everyone into it, right?
That's right. I'm surprised that a tattoo doesn't also stop you from drowning as well. Because I would associate tattooing with sailors as well.
More It'd be nice if the earring then inflated and made one of those round, yeah. you know, lifesavers.
That's what I said. Thanks for not listening.
I don't know. I don't care for your work.
Me neither.
Sorry about that.
To cure a sty, rub it with a gold wedding band.
Band. Buy some gold and rub it with the gold. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once again,
marketing.
Yeah, good marketing. All right, moving on.
I love this. This is one of my favorite stories or little things.
All right, tell me a story.
Animals can talk at midnight on Christmas Eve. I just love the idea of that. Animals get just hanging out.
I have heard that one before too.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was like a animated special, I think, that talks with the animals talking
the night
in
the
manger.
Talk. Yeah.
But I think that's happening during the Christmas right. Eve story, right?
And one turns to the other and goes like, do you think this means we have souls? And the other one goes, no. I go, okay.
Why
yeah,
not?
Back in those days when they were sacrificing us. Was that, is that the same God? Yeah. Oh, I don't care for that guy.
Well, that's
all the
that's
sheep
all,
sacrifice. That's I didn't like
all,
that guy.
That's why it all changed after Christ. They knew Christ was coming
yeah.
and was going to change all that stuff and stop the sacrifices.
Yeah. And they're all, once again, turning to each other and just go, so how do we get saved? Do we find Jesus? Is there like a sheep Jesus or do we do this guy? How do we do it? How does it work for us? And they don't know.
Don't you know the Pope just said that animals go to heaven?
Did he?
Yeah.
He says a lot of stuff.
I like that Pope.
Yeah. Is he just trying to get fired? I get a little bit of a feeling like, I get that sometimes when he comes out, it's just like, all right, I got to get fired this time.
He has said some stuff that's kind of, you kind of feel like, ooh, that was very old popish.
Oh, yeah, but that's popes. Yeah. That's the thing. Then all of a sudden you forget, like, you know he's the Pope, right?
Yeah.
You know the head of the Catholic Church? You know what the Catholic Church is, right? And, oh, yeah, right. He's in the Vatican, right? Like, take a look. It's like, admittedly, he's, you know, a bit more loosey-goosey, but yeah, I get a feeling sometimes, you know, he's just trying his best to get fired.
Here's a way for you to figure out who's going to visit your house. You ready? To drop a fork means a woman will visit. To drop a knife means a man will visit. To drop a spoon means a child will visit.
Okay.
To drop a dishcloth means bad luck is going to come for a visit.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Now you do.
What if you drop all the silverware on the floor? Is that
it's
going to
be a party. You should prepare for a party.
Okay.
Take out the twister, Matt, and lay it down because people are coming over.
Yeah. I never cared for that whole 7 years bad luck. I thought that's way
that
too harsh.
That seems, yeah.
Way too
harsh. But you
harsh.
Know where that comes from? I can see where that comes from because at the time when that would have come about,
yeah.
mirrors were actually more valuable than windows. They were so much more difficult to have a nice mirror in a house.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a real sign of wealth to have a mirror. And so the idea of breaking it was so like economically disastrous that, you know, you'd want to put like a huge punishment behind being careless
just
around mirrors.
7 years seems yeah. really harsh.
So if you're fucking running around the house with your broom, which is bad luck anyway, or your umbrella, Mr. Open It in the House, knocking the mirror off the wall, not only do you get bad luck from opening the umbrella, but 7 years bad luck for breaking into the expensive mirror, dummy.
Yeah, you and your cricket.
Get out of here. Pocket full of crickets. This is a weird one. The wedding veil protects the bride from the evil eye.
Okay.
You believe that?
I think it protects them from spitting from nervous grooms.
Nervous grooms. I do.
That's right.
When would he spit? That's all he has to say is I do. Oh, during his vows.
All the vows.
If he's reading his vows, yeah. There's a lot of...
Do I shake this woman?
Do you, Sylvester?
I know, and it's an old priest, probably too, right? So there's a lot of spit flying.
Yeah, that's true. To honor and to obey, in sickness and in health.
Yep.
Oh dear, this is washing a car will bring rain. Everyone knows that
mm-hmm.
because the only time you're going to notice it when it rains out or feel bad about it is when you washed your car the day before and you're
right.
like, damn it, I just washed my car and now it's raining out every time, which isn't true. But
and you know what they call that, Dave?
What?
Karma.
Karma. You must get out of bed on the same side you got in or you will have bad luck.
Now, here's what I like doing sometimes.
Okay.
Or when I was
crawling
a kid.
Over your wife.
No. Okay. When I was a kid, mm-hmm. and it was like, you know, the one side of the bed is good luck, the one side of the bed is bad luck.
Yeah.
You don't get out those beds. You get out the far side.
Oh.
You just like get out the end of the bed. Mm-hmm. You just will go straight.
Yeah.
What happens now, fate?
That's bad luck too.
No, it isn't.
It means you're a smartass.
No, it isn't.
It means you're a smartass.
No.
This, school will be a nightmare.
In the Greek mythology, that's the person that gets the best luck.
School will be
they
a nightmare.
They go good, clever. Well, it was a nightmare. That's not untrue.
it's kind of a weird one. I wonder why that... I mean, you can see why it's bad luck, because if your significant other is sleeping beside you and you wake them up trying to crawl over them, that's bad luck.
No, here's why. Because if you have pets,
yeah,
your pets smarten up and know what side of the bed you come out of.
Okay.
So if the cat knows, oh, Dave's big hammer feet are coming down on this side every day,
yes.
I'm going to sleep on the other side.
Uh-huh.
But then if you decide to switch it up, mm-hmm. now you've squashed your cat. Bad luck.
You realize, of course, that my nickname is Twinkle Toes. Dave Twinkle Toes Dedrick.
Yeah, don't mention that in the job
interview.
Don't
Mr. Hammerfeet me. Okay, where are we? Okay, evil spirits cannot harm you when you are standing in a circle.
So, okay.
Which is kind of strange. But I just mentioned that one because I didn't know it was real. And if you watch the show Supernatural, in the early seasons, they were always making salt circles and to protect themselves from ghosts
sure
and whatnot.
Are. That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Ghosts can get through.
That's why no bad spirits have ever entered into a circle jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Continue. Why are you guys doing this? Safety! We're scared of ghosts! That's why. Of course. Oh, carry on then, gentlemen.
It is unlucky to rock an empty rocking chair.
All right.
Unlucky for
but
cats.
But it is lucky to see a million faces and rock them all.
Okay. Wearing an opal when it is not your birthstone is bad luck.
Why are we anti-opal?
What about driving an opal? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Why are we anti-opal?
And making fun of Opie from Andy Griffith's show is also bad luck.
Because
he's going to have a very successful directing career. You don't think he will.
Mm-hmm.
Who thinks Opie's going to be the guy who like gets all the hit films?
No one.
But boom.
I was
one
all
after
my money.
The other. One after the other. Hit, 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 hit.
All my money was on Floyd the Barber. Smell dandelions, wet the bed.
Okay, now we're getting to the dregs, right? We're getting to
that's
the dregs.
Last one. That's the last.
The
one.
Only one I can think is like you smell dandelions,
maybe,
and then you make dandelion soup, and you eat too much dandelion soup,
yeah,
and then you pass out from it, and then you wet the bed. Then I could see.
Yeah,
are we really ending with dandelion soup wet the bed?
You spread the soup. That was the last one. Well, and that was interesting. The very last one is a forked branch held with a fork in each hand will dip and point. When it passes over water. I mean, everyone knows that stupid
made-up
story.
That's not good luck or bad luck.
It's a superstition.
Okay, fair enough.
It's a superstition. Dousing is a superstition.
Okay. All right. So there you go.
There is no scientific evidence for dousing.
Okay. I still do, when I've taken a pinch of salt, I will throw some over my shoulder. I will still do that.
Really?
Yeah, just a habit. Yep. Feels weird not to.
But it's only if you spill it, right? Not if you just pour it onto your food.
Like
because it's a way of...
You can get one that we can get... Like, definitely if you spill it, then you do it.
Yeah.
But also if you just take a pinch and you do it, you know, you're throwing it in old scratch's eye.
Because once again, salt was of incredible value at one time.
Right.
And so to waste it was to...
Well, I'm just telling you
yeah.
what my stupid superstitions are.
Oh, I don't think it's stupid. It's quite sensible. Obviously, old scratch is... peering over your shoulder.
Yeah, and he gets salt in the eye. He goes, fuck, I'm leaving.
What the hell, man?
I don't need this.
I was waiting here.
Yeah.
I was going to make you an offer, a good offer for your soul.
Yep.
Not chintzy offer. I'm not a Faustian pact.
Yep.
A good, I was going to give you an opal.
Yeah.
That's how good it is.
And a cricket.
And I'm.
And you got to choose which of these two you're going to get.
Which one you want. Do you want the good luck cricket in your on your hearth?
So I was going to chase him away with my broom,
mm-hmm.
ran into a mirror, broke it. Now I'm screwed.
There's a Dickens story, which is his second Christmas story, called The Cricket on the Hearth.
Yes.
And I wonder if that relates to that. And I read the story, but to be honest, it wasn't that good, and I have no memory of it.
Nope.
It's no Christmas Carol.
Nope.
Is what I'm saying.
Christmas Carol was the biggest hit.
To cash in on The Christmas Carol with The Cricket on the Hearth. Did not catch on.
Take it outside, Dickens, they said.
That's what people said.
Boy, but, boy, what day is it? It's not as good as the last one. That's what the boy said.
I don't think it flew.
Yeah, does Scrooge show up in this one? Nope.
Nope.
Then screw you, Dickens.
Scrooge you. Yeah. It didn't, I thought that's where you were going to go with it, and you didn't, so I had to throw it
no,
in.
No, it didn't. Of course not.
You weren't. You didn't think that was good?
No.
I wrecked it?
No.
I further wrecked
I'm
the show?
I'm trying to make you look good, I further so wrecked you'll the get show? A job. Okay. I'm trying to help.
It's all right. I'm not too worried about it.
All right, good.
I'm not too worried about it.
All right. But people
there's a social safety net here in Canada that I can just fall right on.
And that's called marijuana.
Yes, sir. I'm going to open a dispensary.
Yep.
Dr. Dave, and tell me that, please.
That's right. With your sidekick, Dr. Horse. And he sits there. Shoot, Dr. Hey, old Horse. Doc Winnie.
I don't think you want to bring Horse into a marijuana
no,
dispensary.
No, because that's confusing. Because you say, it's like, would you confusing. Like to see the horse? And then they think, oh, he's talking heroin. Yeah. Now we're really confused.
I thought you were going to go the more normal and say Dr. Cricket. That's where I thought we were going to
except that cricket is not slang for any type of drug.
No, that's why you want cricket, not horse.
Okay.
You want Dr. Crack. Me? I'll be dispensing.
Oh, yeah. If you smoke crack, will you break your mother's back?
You will break her heart.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
On a complete
unless
side.
Unless she smokes crack as
this
well.
Is a,
then she probably wants you to smoke it with
by
her.
By the way, this is a hard turn for me to make right now.
Okay.
But I'm going to make this hard turn.
Sure.
Here we go. And boom. I got a Valentine's Day card from my mom today.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, you know, my mom is estranged from me right now because she's with a guy who let's just say is somewhat assholian.
He's a control freak.
He's a control freak.
Yeah.
Also, I was going to say an asshole. And so,
what if he listens to the show?
All the way to the end of this?
Yeah.
We would have lost him. We would have lost him at Dandelions Make You Pee.
No way.
So, you know, it was...
People are at home are like, really? That's a superstition?
They could have. Yeah.
That's interesting. They wrote it down in their little book.
So the last time I heard from my mom, she called on a payphone.
Yeah.
Because she can't call from home.
That is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. She did the same thing with my sister. You know, she calls from a payphone.
Yeah.
And because she can't call in front of him. She sneaks away to call. And
so you told her how to use the paperclip and just hold it against the coin thing and then...
No, I did not.
Oh.
I'm not giving any new confusing information. So this, in the card, it basically is like to my son, you know, I love you, and she wrote like, you know, I will still always love you, and you know, and I had written her an email a while back just saying I miss you, and that was it.
Yeah.
Because he deletes all the emails.
Yeah.
And so obviously she read that one.
Yeah.
She says, I miss you too, and then had a thing where she just went, you know, everything's okay, and I'll try to call you from a payphone soon. And that was what it was. And,
Fuck that.
I know. It's
That's ridiculous.
It's super messed up. It's super, super messed up.
You must have been so sad to get that card.
It was pretty rough, yeah. So this morning, got that card, and that set me off on a... Because I've been through, like, it is, again, like losing a parent, but it's losing a parent in a way that's different, you know? But you do go through the different stages of grief, and you're angry, and you're this, and then it kind of gets to acceptance.
But can it resolve?
But that's the thing. It's like you kind of get to the acceptance, but then every so often, you get, like... Something like this, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you read it and just go, well, this means, I mean, it means something, but it also means nothing because she's going to still stay with this guy and still sneak around behind his back maybe and maybe make a phone call or not or what have you. And, you know, my sister went through a similar thing with her this week where she finally just went, okay. Because, like, she actually has been able to email them, but there's a big thing about her having to call my stepdad dad. And she's not game for that at all.
Yeah.
And so, it's just,
That's terrible.
But that was my Valentine's Day card that I got today. Ugh. So, just wanted to keep people updated on what was going on with that situation.
At least there's a card. I mean, at least there's some contact.
There's something, That's right. There's something, you know? And so there's something, but it almost makes you angrier than when there's nothing. Because you can kind of write it off when there's nothing. You can go like, okay, I'll put this over here and just... You know, but then it just takes your heart again and just makes you go, ugh.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you wish there was something you could do, but there really isn't because it's got to be her choice when she makes her choice to make her choice, and she's not doing that. So, boo on that. Ugh.
So you feel, do you feel it's on her?
Yeah, I think it's on her at this point. The only, here's the thing, it's like.
It's not on him.
Oh, he's not going to change, no. There's no, he's got his own. He's one of these controlling fellas, and it's everything's got to be exact in his way.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything that she's loved, the things that she cared about, like art and music and whatever, she doesn't do anymore.
Yeah.
Just got rid of all those. Like her stuff, her art, it's out of the house. You know, it's all the stuff, you know, she watches the stuff he likes to watch on TV. And, you know, it's one of those that's a never-ending hole, right? Like you can't please a person like that enough. You really can't. And yeah, no, I don't think in any way is he going to change.
Yeah.
Because she's made, I think, ultimatums with him in the past. And then he's gone, well, I'm going to leave. And she can't take that. So there you are. So it's basically like the seesaw has to go that it's worse, you know, without us than without him or yeah. what have you. Yeah. And, you know, or she's got to hit some sort of rock bottom or.
Yeah.
No, this is something she's got to like get through on her own. And it's a drag. So there's that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's weird. It's one of those. It's one of those things like, and this is again a weird tie, that it's the ads I've been seeing for 50 Shades of Grey have been bugging me lately. Because again, the whole thing there is like, you know, really pumping up this controlling relationship as oh, yeah. being like this, yeah. you know, wonderful fantasy thing of like, but the guy is completely controlling all aspects of life. And because someone I love in my life has got that relationship, not yeah. the, you know, the kink side of it, but
you hope not.
Well, whatever, who gives a shit if they like that, that's fine. But the actual dominating side of things,
yeah.
you know, and controlling every aspect of a person's life, I just, it bugs me to see that, you know, as like a thing in a film, as you know, blah blah blah. Also bugs me because the film is advertising itself as something it completely isn't, so boo on that as well. So
how do you mean it's advertising itself something it is?
Because here's what the film is advertising itself as. It's actually a film. A
romantic comedy.
Well, it's not a romantic comedy, but it is a romance.
Yeah.
So what it's advertising itself as is a romance with a little kink.
Okay.
It's a little kink romance.
Yeah.
And here's some merchandise. What is it? It's a teddy bear, but he's got handcuffs. Oh, there you go. Aww. That's a little bit of merchandise.
So
and what it actually is, yes. if it is like the books, mm-hmm. then it's a rape fantasy. And that's actually what it is. Like she says no,
common.
He does not accept no, mm-hmm. and wins her over after many times. You know, she wants to leave. He's got her cell phone. He will not. He can trace her anytime. He mm-hmm. says. And again, when I'm dealing in real life with someone who has to phone from a payphone,
yeah,
that kind of. But yeah, in the book itself, there are rape scenarios, and that's what it is. So you can't say that this movie is, it's a rape fantasy that da 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 da. You can't sell it as that,
yeah,
because that's reprehensible in society. So you've got to call it something which it isn't, which is like, it's a kink based romance. And it's like, no, that's not what kink is. Kink has consent. This is the difference between this and that. And the way I put it on Facebook was, you know, it's like as if you marketed the Hobbit as a biography about the mining industry.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not at all. You're lying about what this is.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can make a movie about whatever you want. That's fine.
It seems strange to market The Hobbit as a documentary about the mining industry. That would mean to seem yes. mean to be.
Now, I admit, there's dwarves, and they're miners.
They are in the mines of Moria.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so there you go. But you're saying that it's not a fantasy about a certain thing. And
yeah.
This. So that's the thing that bugs me about the film itself is that it's a lie.
I wonder if the film has changed that, though. I mean, we don't know. We haven't seen the film.
No.
If the film has changed that aspect of it to make it more of a romance with kink rather than an out-and-out, you know, dominant
again,
power.
It all depends on if there is consent given in the movie. If
yeah.
there is consent given, then it's a kink
movie.
If you've gone
to see it, you've given consent to see the film.
You have given consent to see the film, yeah. and your safe word is, oh, this is bullshit, and you step up and you leave.
You can leave.
But, you know, it's like, I think you can make a movie about anything. Mm-hmm. You can make Henry Portrait of Serial Killer,
yeah.
but you don't call it Henry's Day Off, and like, show it as a, you know, you don't play Salisbury Hill, and you know, during the trailer, and then it's like, what am I seeing? You can make whatever you want about yeah. whatever you want, but like sell it as what it is. And if you're if you can't sell it as what it is, then what's that say about what it is? Maybe that's something, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
You got to say what it is. You know, that's the only thing we ask is like some sort of truth in advertising. So there.
Before,
but if you enjoy it, enjoy it. Knock yourself out, but call it what it is.
Before we go, I just want to say we were talking off air about this last week, and I had made a joke about Paddington Bear. I went and saw the film.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Oh, cool.
So good.
I hear it's got a real strong pro-marmalade agenda. Is this true?
I love marmalade, so I didn't really notice it in a negative way.
Okay.
There was a lot of marmalade in the film,
mm-hmm.
and I'm all for that. It does have one little thing in it, which, you know, it has like a kind of a suspenseful subplot,
mm-hmm.
which takes you away from Paddington. And oftentimes you're kind of impatient when it happens. You're kind of like, what, this stuff? Gee whiz. How about back to the bear? That's fun. But there was a lot of, it's a very good film. Very well done. It's,
all right. Nice.
It's for young and old. And really, we went and saw it. And our family was laughing the loudest at the film. Like, we were just chuckling away. It was really good. So I will say, if you don't want to see it in the theater, because you don't feel like, you know, you don't have daughters who are close to being kids by 5 years, then, you know,
wait it out and
wait see it at home or whatever. But it's very good. It's well worth seeing.
Well, I'm saying, like,
and I love those books when I was a kid. So
if you can't get into 50 Shades of Grey, what we advise you to do?
Yeah.
Go see Paddington Bear.
Go see Paddington. Yeah. Much, much better. And it's all the sex in it is consensual.
Good for him.
Yeah.
And then, once again, marmalade warning.
Marmalade warning.
Marmalade trigger warning.
Yeah.
You know, does get a little, it's the marmalade with the rind in it.
It is the safe word in the film. Marmalade.
Yeah. That would be.
No, it's a very good, very fun film. I really liked it. A lot of fun.
Good. I want to see it. All right.
And just the typical British film. You're just like, oh, yeah, it's Doctor Who. Oh, she was in Happy Go Lucky. Oh, he was in that other thing I saw. Oh, there's that.
There's that Big Ben I see getting destroyed in every action movie.
That's right. Oh, he's played by the new Q from the James Bond.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And who does the voice of Paddington?
That Ben Whishaw is the guy who plays Q.
Wasn't Colin Firth for a brief period of time, and then they went, no, it doesn't work, and then they replaced
him?
I believe so.
I didn't know that. Yeah, it works well. He kind of sounds like Tintin sounded in the Tintin. He has that kind of similar voice. Not Scottish. But right. I don't think Jimmy Bell let the Scottish loose in his Tintin, did he? He kind of kept it to a British.
I don't think so, yeah.
I think he kept a fairly upper-class Brit.
Right.
Or middle-class.
Speaking of which, we may have some Tintin news for you in the future.
Just
throwing that out there.
Just throwing that
That's out of nowhere.
Wow. You surprised me.
There you are. Okay.
All right.
Listen, folks, once again, we are in a very mild climate.
We are.
But if you're not, then let me say, I can't recommend highly enough double and triple shirting up. You know, wear multiple shirts.
That's right. Layer. I always wear layers.
Now, but here's the thing. Make sure your shirts are all of the same theme.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you wear shirts from, like, say, different podcasts on top of each other, that really can clash. And also, sometimes the fabrics, they don't go together, and that can cause a fire. So what you want is to order at least three shirts up from the same
podcast. I know what you're thinking, that you can get a generator and use the static electricity to power something. It's not true. It will actually cause a fire.
Yeah, absolutely. And you might have a lightning bolt go through a window, which, as you know, will explode.
Unless you have an acorn on it.
That's right. Do not. All right. Who's got an acorn in this day and age?
I do.
Who can afford an acorn? So what I'm saying to you folks is buy yourself a Sneaky Dragon shirt. Go to sneakydragon.com, click on our merch section, and there's a wide variety of wonderful shirts designed by David.
Yes.
If you don't see a shirt there that you like.
My production company, An Acorn and Two Mules.
You might. That's not bad. You might look at one of his title cards and go, oh, I wish that was a shirt. Well, you could contact David at sneakydragon.com or sneakyd at sneakydragon.com.
Yes.
And go, Dave, can I have a shirt made of this title card? And Dave will tell you, no.
That's right.
But
I'm terribly protective.
One out of six times, he will say yes.
Yes.
Because it's one that he can actually do like that.
That's right.
So anyway.
That's right. Sometimes it can work, sometimes it can't.
Yeah. So anyway, order some shirts. We're sending some shirts out right now to someone. I don't know if they're a surprise to them, so I will not say their name.
No, they're not a surprise.
Okay, then it's to Ian.
To Jen and Ian.
Yeah. Well, no, it's Ian. It's just for Ian.
He's going to wear both shirts?
Yeah.
Because one is a lady's.
Okay.
One is a lady's shirt.
Fine.
And he's going to wear that as well?
Yeah. I don't know. He's sleeping. He can't hear this. Don't worry about that.
He's gone already.
But yeah, I would advise you to buy shirts. Also, we'd love to hear your comments, and that's a good place to leave them is sneakydragon.com. Also, our Facebook page. You can also see Twitter, sneaky_dragon. We're there.
Sometimes.
And I think we got a Tumblr, too.
Yes, we do.
What is that?
Sneaky Dragon.
It's a Tumblr. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
It's not just for pornography anymore, Tumblr. It's also for this.
Don't believe that's what it's for.
There's a lot of it on there.
And don't forget that Easter's coming up. And as we all know, it's good luck to have new clothes at Easter. And so a new Sneaky Dragon shirt would be really lucky.
There you are.
And on that lucky note,
remember, Dave is available.
That's right. I have a shirt that says I'm available.
That's right. Dave has a shirt he will send you that has his resume on
it. I changed.
This is how Dave now gives out his resume. Yeah. It's in shirt form.
Well, to make help with my job search, I changed my status on Facebook to available.
It's about to get complicated.
My wife got kind of mad. I'm not too sure why. I was like, but I'm looking for a job. I gotta, you know, any way I can.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, everybody, thanks for listening to the show this week. We really appreciate it. We'll be back with next week. We'll be carrying next week.
When will we be back with next week's show?
We'll be carrying it on our backs. Just us two. We'll be bringing next week with us for next week's show. That's how we do it, everybody. We carry the burden of the weeks.
Yep. Dave and, is giddy with unemployed delight. Right.
I'm carrying my termination papers with me wherever I go. You are terminated. I'm the Terminator. thanks for listening,
everybody.
A great
big Terminator.
That's right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Terminated.